There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch with the show. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. You can also use the FM Talk 106.5 app to send us a talkback message. And I appreciate all the continuing updates here on the Maytag repairman nature of polling places today. Greg said... let's see, in the 2024 presidential election, I arrived before 7 a.m., and I was about 150th in line. He said, I was number two this morning at Fish River Marlow Fire Department at 7:03. Grant said, just voted 1220 Snow and Howells Ferry. I was the only voter at the time. I was number 118. She said they normally have 5,000 voters. We couldn't believe the lack of turnout. Recent ones coming in here, too. Let's see. C.B. Carl said Laura and I were voters 31 and 32 at about 9:30 in Bon Secours this morning. All right, let's bring on my friend. Reed is working at AL.com. You may, you know, face up against him on the pickleball court and lose, or check him out at scouting functions. It's John Sharp, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. So... this is, all right, listen, I mean, I've gotten, you know, we do this every election here with the station, which is amazing, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that text in about what they see at the poll. And I think it's scientific? No. But, you know, we're all creatures of habit. Usually you vote before work or at lunch or after work. And so I'm just apples to apples. What did it look like in the last one? What did it look like here? Maybe this 5% turnout thing ends up being true. Not bad.
I would not be shocked at a 5% turnout. If it goes much above that, I would be somewhat surprised. it's a low turnout election today. None of the races have really stirred much of a overriding conversation above some of the things we've seen. You know, we've got general election campaigns going on right now for governor. Have gotten a lot of attention. We're just not getting much at all in these special elections. And here we are today. Don't know, everybody runs to the poll at once, you know. I think you have the opportunity to hit the rush hour, you'll be all right. So, but it is what it is. I think this is just kind of the last setup before the general election, which I think there will be some interest in that, obviously. But, today is the culmination of a very long primary season this year.
Yeah, for sure.
More than usually long than we've ever really been used to. So it's a unique election too. We don't have this is a primary election which there will be no runoff. Whoever wins today wins. If for instance in AL1 you have four candidates on the ballot on the if one of those candidates receives 49.6% of the vote today, that individual would typically move on to a runoff against a second place finisher. But today it's a winner take all. So that would be.
Yeah. And if somebody gets 26%, right.
Mm-hmm.
Out of four.
Correct.
And somebody could, conceivably, by the math, 26% wins it.
That's correct. I don't see that happening.
I'm saying it could be that tight.
Right. Plausibly, have that today in all four congressional primaries. There's four congressional districts which are having primaries throughout the state today. Of course, we're interested down here in AL1, newly redrawn, authorized through the U.S. Supreme Court's decision back in early June. A lot of jostling between federal courts and between the federal district court and the Supreme Court, which kind of created a little bit of confusion, honestly, I think, for a lot of folks. And but it's ultimately where we're at right now. We have an AL1, looks more like AL1 pre-2023, in which we have Mobile and Baldwin counties back together again with a bit of Escambia County, I believe Covington County as well. So, it's a much more Mobile, Baldwin-centric congressional district. I got four candidates on the Republican side of the ballot: Jerry Carl, Austin Sidwell, John Mills, and Lucas Berger. And those are your candidates that are on the ballot today. And polls are open until 7, so go on in and vote.
Yeah, that's no waiting. No waiting, just go on.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right at rush hour this year, I think.
It's for sure. Also, you talk about one, of course, important to us, but, people have the memory of being in two, so let's talk about second congressional district, which is not gerrymandered into Mobile anymore. But there's there's a name there that was somebody that is a representative for people in Mobile right now that won't be going forward. Shamari Figures.
Yeah, that's correct. He does not face an opponent today, a primary opponent, so he will be moving on to the general election. He will be facing the winner of a somewhat crowded Republican primary, running in a newly drawn district. I guess it's includes Montgomery and Montgomery, southeastern Alabama into the Wiregrass, and so you have a pretty big district there. It should be on paper it favors the Republican candidate, but again, Shamari Figures is an incumbent. It's an election year in which nationally Democrats are expected to do fairly well compared to usually that's what happens when the party who the president's in power usually sometimes takes it on the chin a little bit at the midterm. That's usually what happens. Not necessarily is going to happen, but typically that happens. And so you have those favorables going for Representative Figures. Also high turnout in the primaries for the city of Montgomery. I don't think he certainly didn't overlook that, and high turnout for Democratic voters in Montgomery. So Shamari Figures looking to continue with that momentum. However, he'll be facing a winner in this Republican primary. I think the favorite in this is State Representative Brett Marcus. He has the endorsements of Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and Senator Katie Britt. He has the money. He is positioned to do well today. Again, low turnout, so you never really know what truly will happen, but I would say he's positioned to do pretty well. From some of the folks I've been talking to up in Montgomery, they have seen a lot of campaign advertisements for Representative Marcus in that area, a little bit for Hampton Harris. He's another one of the candidates on the ballot, but very little from others that are just, they don't have the money or the resources to push a big congressional race like that. So we're expecting State Representative Brett Marcus and former Congressman Jerry Carl both to win today, but that's not to say that, upsets happen, but I haven't really seen anything to indicate that we're going to see something that could really make us turn heads, other than that turnout being extremely low.
I do wonder about that, going back to the argument about the redraw of two and when all that happened to make it the opportunity district. I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't know what would happen if Figures won in the general. What would that do to the argument, right? That so you go back to generally what two was, and then if he would win, what that does to the argument the plaintiffs had brought in the first place of the case.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I do think the political climate again overall nationally seems to favor Democrats going into this midterm. 2 years from now, who's hard to say, and who would that favor at that point? I would think, if Shamari Figures, if Representative Figures were to pull off what I would consider an upset in November, he would likely be a target for the Republican congressional committee going into you know, his next election, would that be in 2028? So yeah, we would. Yeah, it would be. There would be a lot. I think there's going to be some national attention on this second congressional district race, largely because you know, it is going to be fairly competitive. It's not going to be a blowout. It is going to be an interesting race, and there's been a lot of attention on redistricting in the South, and I think this race could elevate, you know, could elevate the profile of both candidates running in it. I think you could see it receive some, yeah, some national attention, some visits from the national media. I would not be surprised. Again, Mobile is not part of that anymore, but our next door neighbors are in the Wiregrass area, so it'll be interesting. It'll be real interesting to see how that plays out. I think compared to the governor's race, that congressional race is probably has the most intrigue amongst the general election races this year in Alabama.
John, to segue to another story here, just for an update, you put it out last week, but I didn't get to talk to you about it. You'd written about our favorite perennial discussion, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. I think you'd written last week that they're saying that October, yeah, as in like October of 2026, could be the actual start of this?
Yeah, not October of 2027 or right. 8 or push it down. Yes, we are now months away. We are actually 1 month away from hopefully, and then, you know, that's the hope from ALDOT, is that we'll have the finances all sewed up, ready to go, and they'll be ready for a big announcement in early October. At least that's my understanding. I think by Halloween was the date I've heard.
Scary.
So. Yeah, scary times. But yeah, here we are. You know, there's some, there is a, looks to be a staging area. I took a picture of it. The signage is out there. There's some, you know, a couple of trailers. I don't know what it means, but it looks like they're the beginning of a staging area for construction, just near the jail area in downtown mm-hmm. Mobile. So right by where the SS United States, the Mars facility is at. So yeah, it's, you know, there's something visual there. I don't know what it really means at this point until, you know, we finally break ground on this project.
It's a Potemkin village is what it is. They're set up there.
Right. It could be a mirage, you know.
Yeah.
It could have been seeing something.
Right. I mean, after, I tend to break cynical after the years and years and years you and I have been doing it. But hopefully it's something. All hopefully right. It's happening. I will watch that. And then the story you just put up, people can check out over at AL.com. Spent the last hour with Sheriff Birch and talked really a lot about Pritchard. You got a story here. This is not having to do with the police department, the water, the trash, the insurance. This is Pritchard Stadium.
Yeah, Pritchard Stadium is set pretty much, mothballed, I guess you call it. It hasn't really been used at all for 6 years. There was kind of a high-profile exodus, from a sports perspective, back in 2020. I think there was frustrations from Viger High School at the time that, you know, the facility was just in shambles.
It was a dump, yes.
And it wasn't really something that, a high school football team should be playing in. And so that pretty much ended that. Interestingly, the last battle of Pritchard that occurred at the stadium was in 2018. So it's been a while. But the mayor wants to pursue possible brownfield assessment for this facility, which could, a lot of these woulds and coulds, it could open it up for potential state and federal resources. You know, there's a lot of, probably be some discussions in Pritchard on whether or not that's something worth pursuing or not. That for potentially, the payoff could be maybe one football game. But maybe the mayor has a bigger idea. It wasn't really expressed in her social media post yet, but she did indicate, though, that she wants to pursue this brownfield assessment, see if there's a potential to secure state and federal resources.
Well, we will keep an eye on this. Out of all the things facing Pritchard, I don't know, but this is probably maybe the easier lift. I'm not sure. It's easier to get Pritchard Stadium back going or getting the police department back going. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, to the mayor's credit, you know, in a city that's not facing a crisis with this police department or not facing, you know, other controversial issues.
Water board, insurance. Yeah.
Right. Water board, insurance. That's what a mayor should do. Look at certain things that, you know, potentially it could be a pet project of theirs and say, you know what, we want to tackle this and we're going to do certain things about it. So in a normal community in a normal time period, I would say, hey, Mayor, you're doing the right thing. But, you know, there will be some skepticism with, I'm sure, with this announcement. But, you know, at any rate, that's, you know, to the mayor's credit, that's what a mayor, mm-hmm. And she's a fairly new mayor still. So that's what you're supposed to do. Look around your community, see what your project might be that you might, and see if the community wants to push it forward with it. And what do you got to lose sometimes? So, and that may come back to the data center argument there in Pritchard too. That's a project that's been a hot button issue there. However, it could generate some of the revenue that could be needed to pay for some of these much needed projects.
I thought the same thing. I thought, you know, you could even say, yeah, you can do the data center, but we tie it to this, that, or the other. So
yeah, so you know, all that's, you know, a lot of would have, could have, maybes. We don't know. But that was an announcement that the Pritchard mayor made yesterday, kind of put the Pritchard stadium. It's a high pro, and it's a stadium. You see it every time you drive by on the interstate. So it's something it's visual. It's right there. And it'd be nice to see, you know, either, it, you know, something happen, I guess you could say. But there's, you know, I think the days of playing football there right now, the way I see it, are over with. But, you know, we'll see where that goes in the future.
Y'all can check these stories and a whole lot more out from John over at AL.com, or if they want to reach out to you, watch what you're doing on the social media side, how do they find you?
At JohnSharp99.
Good stuff, John. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Coming right back. Your text, calls, all that good stuff. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 126, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here and always good to check in with my buddy David at LCM Motor Cars. And it sounds like even more cars coming to LCM. David, you just got, what, how many more did you order today?
I wish it was that easy. I wish I could just order them. We purchased nine more. This morning, so they should be getting picked up and being in here hopefully tomorrow evening, maybe Thursday. Everybody's back in school and settled down, so we're ready to do business. We should have a really good inventory for everybody.
Let's talk about this as well, your inventory of financing. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's not like you just deal with one lender.
No, we don't have 1,000 because we don't need them. We pick and choose who we do business with. The lenders that we use here are the ones that are nice to our customers, that treat them with respect, no matter whether their credit score is 800 or 300. And trust me, there are 300s. We know these lenders, the majority of them personally, except for the underwriter, especially the underwriters and stuff. So we know how they're going to be treated and how things should happen.
Yeah, it's a good process because they come to you. They can trust the people they're working with there as well. So how do they get in touch with you? How do they see you?
One thing about the lenders too, Sean, you saw face value. I mean, mm-hmm. I picked up a telephone call somebody at their desk the other day to change an address.
Yeah, tell you what. Let's tell that story because I know if we had time, but let's tell that story. So with the new truck I got from you, it's a little confusing, people, but I don't have a mailbox where I live. I get mail here at the station. So things got confused with where they're sending stuff. And so David I didn't have to go through some portal or whatever. David, you picked up the phone and called them and said, hey, we need to make sure the address is this, not that.
Yeah, I just happened to be at the radio station. Sean hollered at me, so I called and handled it. It was that easy. I mean, I didn't have to get put on hold. I didn't have to go through a bunch of prompts. Called directly to the department, and they, I want to say they know my voice. I mean, because I do a lot of business with them, and they said, oh, yeah, that's no problem. Picked it up, fixed it right there. So, I mean, it's a relationship with anything between you and the radio station and me, between you and the car lot and you, you know, it's just, that's the way things are. But we're at Highway 90 in Plantation. We are 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're the third red light on the left-hand corner. You can't miss us. You can go to the website, lcmotorcars.com, or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Hey, thanks. And, I'll be calling you later.
Have a good day, Dwayne.
All right, there he goes. David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. Yeah, there's a reason you see so many of those vehicles that, you know, you pull up at a stoplight, you see the LCM. Well, that's why. He's great to deal with for sure. Coming up here in just a little bit, we'll get to text. Also, a pushback from the Corps of Engineers. Headline came out. This came out about an hour before I came on the air. Mobile District corrects misleading claims on Mobile Harbor dredging and public hearing decision. So we're not going to, I mean, it's not super lengthy document, but we'll try to kind of pick through this and see what the argument coming from the Corps is. I mean, there are quotes in here like sediment is not automatically waste. This is not a choice between the port and the bay. These things are all could be crocheted on throw pillows for sure. Get to that and your text when we come back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And it's always good to talk to my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor. And it's August now, which means it's not too far off. And we'll be hitting the woods, getting plots ready.
That's right, Sean. So the next 30 to 60 days, a lot of people are going to be getting in the woods, headed to the hunt camp on the weekends, taking their tractors and all their implements up there. But want to talk today about all the implements we do have in stock. Would be perfect to take up there to the hunt camp and get the food plots ready. We've got bush hogs in all different sizes, disc, tillers, grapples, the lane charts to go on the front of the tractors to limb up those roads and shooting lanes. We've got spreaders, cultipackers, all of it to get the job done on them food plots at the hunt camp.
You know, and that's why I like it's important. You talked about the detail here because people will say, okay, well, I'm thinking about the stuff I need and, you know, bush hog and a disc. But you went through the list of stuff that people also don't have or don't know that they need. They think about it. They get up there and they don't have it. A sprayer. Okay. Now, a lot of people using, you know, herbicides here to burn down plots, but they don't have a sprayer big enough. You got that. You've got.
We do.
And then the cultipacker thing, you know, the people go, man, what did you do your fields? I said, I cultipack them here. I'm going to get one of the, our patches would look so good, but I don't have a cultipacker. Y'all got them for rent.
We do. So we have all these implements and tractors in our rental fleet as well. So if you don't own a tractor or can't justify buying one because, you know, you might only use it to plant food plots once a year, we've got all this in our rental fleet. So you can come by, you can rent it for the day, you can rent it for a weekend, a week, a month, you name it. We got all the implements in stock as well in our rental fleet. We got trailers you can haul them on. But we do have trucks and trailers as well. So if you don't have a truck to haul it, we can deliver it to you. And it don't matter if it's at the hunt camp either.
That is sweet. All right. So y'all planning with your club, you know, what you're going to do to get ready here. First step you got to do is reach out to Blaine and get it set up and make sure you got all the implements you need and the tractor to pull them. So how do they do that? How do they get in touch with you?
You can give us a call or stop by. We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171. You can go online to parrishtractor.com. You can see all of our new equipment, our used equipment, and our rental equipment on our website right there. Or you can just come out and see us. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And Saturdays 8 till noon right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor. I mean, they got the equipment, so you want to figure out when you're going to go work on patches and all that stuff or even go up ahead of time and spray and all that. They got the equipment. All right, to run through a few more people checking in on how it looked at their polling place today. Do we make a number? 5% was a prediction for turnout in today's the special congressional primary. That's what they're saying, 5%. Does it go higher? I mean, just for fun, I'll say it goes higher. This from Michael, 224 voters at ER Dixon. which, by the way, second shout out, the traffic crew at ER Dixon yesterday, y'all were doing great work. Paul says, number 109 at the precinct of 2100. So that's at 1-something today, 130 today. Number 109 out of 2,100. do we break 5? I'm going to say we're going to break 5%, but I'm trying to be positive and aspirational. All right. Chris in Orange Beach says, I can tell you this, brother, from sitting in the backhoe myself, just because there's paint on the ground does not mean that's exactly where not to dig. It's the general vicinity. Yeah, but I get it. And I'm sure there's nuance like there is to everything. But also, and I'm tempered in this because I got a buddy, a good friend of mine, that does this stuff and marks these lines, and he's been doing it forever. He knows exactly where the things, and they got the ground penetrating radar and all that stuff, and can show you where the. But to hear, I mean, once, did you hear the sheriff that six times they've had. Between fiber and water, that construction right there has broken it six times just this year. Jeez. Thank you for the update. Unnamed texter had texted earlier and said, after the conversation I had with the sheriff, said, as we speak, there's a Pritchard police car at Memorial Funeral Home. I know the owner uses that car in the funeral, and it's been there for years. Oh, this is Keep It Real on the text line. Said, this is a memorial on 45, the owner works for Pritchard. So the way I'm understanding this, and so if the investigative reporters out there are listening here, so texter, help me if I'm missing any detail, that the Pritchard police car, so the physical like cruiser or whatever, stays at the funeral home? Or does it just show up when they're doing, but it's been there for years. Is that like, is that where it's parked at the funeral home? And if you did like a funeral detail and you're not currently a police officer, but you're in the police vehicle, even if you're not like, obviously you're pulling people over or something like that, you're impersonating an officer, but what if you're driving in the vehicle? If you drive in a fully, one that has blue lights and all that, if you're driving in that, even if you're not, like I said, doing police, aren't you impersonating an officer? Squirrel Vereen said, to heck with those critics, rounding up illegal criminals is a good use of tax dollars, and then says, what number is higher, voters today or people playing tickle ball outdoors in the hot 110-degree heat? I don't know. Squirrel Vereen, so I don't think John's working right now, but he's a buddy of mine, so I like to, you know, you just find something with your buddy and you pick on him all the time about it. It's actually be a pretty good pickleball player. I just like to be a pain. As CB Carl said, the lane shark rocks. They do. I don't have yet. Well, we'll do that on the outdoor show. I want one, but I got to get I don't have third function on mine, although they make them that run off your PTO, but I mean, it's a whole nother show. He also said, when y'all were around Tuscumbia, did you get a minute to check out the Coondog Cemetery? I did not. It was a trip for my boy, CB Carl. That, you know, I would have stopped at Moundville, gone that way and the way up and done, but it was for him. And although I super enjoyed Space and Rocket Center. And I tell you what, the Rattlesnake Saloon, put that on your list. Rock and Roll Doctor said 225 voted this far at Daphne Civic Center at 135. 225 thus far at Daphne Civic Center, 135. And I don't know the number, but I know hearing about how big of a precinct that is, that the numbers, obviously registered voters got to be in the thousands, right? Rock and Roll Doctor, like, so that's 225. In the second half of the day, wow. Michael said, from what people have been saying, it sounds like Baldwin is having a higher turnout. That's good news from us, but bad news for the former representative, Jerry Carl. I don't know. Have you? And I know what you're doing. I see the logic of it from the last time, but the same people aren't on the ballot. Right? So I don't know, Michael, that it's apples to apples in that one. Ricky sending me more screenshots. Ricky, write out a narrative. I can't, like, screenshot stuff. I ain't got time for screenshots here. Ben says the marking paint is merely a suggestion. Okay. So, listen, there's a lot of people saying that the people marking the utilities are not doing a good job. All right, utility markers, it's your chance to chime back in. But you got people out there saying y'all aren't doing a good job marking stuff. Is that why that six times in a year they've broken either fiber or water down at the by the jail? Let's see. Adam said, Shauna just voted at the Seals Center on Texas Street. I was the only voter there. I was the 118th ballot. Adam, what's normal? How many people for that precinct? It seems anemic. I just want to compare it against the overall. Charlie said, just voted at Meadow Lake Elementary, and they said I was number 228. So what's it normally by the time you vote? But these numbers are low. I just wouldn't compare them against, you know, if I'm looking at a percentage of turnout. Tim, I have no idea. He asked the question. It's a fair question, but I have no. How did it ever get this bad with the stuff going on in Pritchard? How was it allowed to get this bad? I don't know, Tim. I mean, there have been signs of this for a long time, right? Nobody wanted to do anything about it. Tim, I don't know if that's a rhetorical question. Let's use it as a rhetorical question. How was it allowed to get this bad? I don't know. It is that bad, though. It is that bad. Every story, I'm not trying, you know, I mean, it would sound like the media is piling on, right? You could say media is piling on Pritchard. But these aren't pile-on stories. These are real stories. And to think about how unserved the good people at Pritchard have been is insane. You heard the sheriff talking about the calls they get, but, I mean, that a city of 18,000 accounted for the lion's share, or dang near it, of the calls coming in over 49 days from Mobile County. What is 4,200 calls in 49 days' time? Unbelievable. The Mariner said your boy has to see the Coondog Cemetery. It'll affect his outlook on man's best friend. Maybe. He likes dogs, but he's just not a, love him to death, he is not a analog of me, what he's interested in. Now, if the Coondogs could go into space and shoot lasers, if it was laser Coondogs, might have interdimensional laser Coondog cemetery, we might get some traction on that. Southern Jedi said, I went to Collier this morning and was told maybe a dozen before me. Wow. I mean, is it 5%? I mean, I would try to say, just to be different, because everybody's saying 5%. You know, I can't do what everybody does. I'm going to say it's going to be the 8% turnout. See how I do on that. Let's see. Tim said, you started to have problems ever since A.J. Cooper was elected mayor. This place was a booming town at one time. It even had a zoo. And thank you. David says, Space Laser Coondog sounds like a good plot for the sci-fi novel. There you go. Let's get it produced. Start writing and I'll work on the screenplay. And we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get today started off with a precious metals. How's it looking?
It's looking pretty good. There was a little correction today. Gold's down $30. Silver's off $1. Just based on the CPI index being favorable for the dollar. So it's just the dollar got a little stronger and gold and silver got a little weaker. If you're stacking or investing in gold, it's nothing to worry about. It's normal fluctuation. So it's still a strong market for it, and I always still recommend people add to their stacks right now. It's a good buy time.
All right, we like that. And platinum and palladium, what are they? Who's winning that horse race right now?
Platinum's still doing a little bit better on that. Platinum's up about $3.70, and palladium is down $10. So nothing to worry about there either. Everybody's but platinum's still winning the race with that, because that's what the automakers are going to use for a while. So palladium is catching up. It was down at 1,000. It's 1,342, and platinum is at 1,735 right now.
Right. Well, tell folks how to find you and come in and, well, like I always say, get an education and then find ways to get into precious metals.
Yeah, we're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com, or just give us a call at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes, the professor at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, let me get this. This will probably make big news by tomorrow or later in the week. Saw this today. It was emailed to me, all right? And I think lots of other people, not just like, I'm the only one. This coming from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Mobile District, says here they are correcting recent misleading claims about Mobile Harbor dredging and the district's decision not to hold a formal public hearing. Here's what they've written. The Mobile Harbor deepening and widening project is complete. The Corps is now in the yearly operations and maintenance phase. That means the district must keep the federal shipping channel at its authorized depth so ships can move safely and the Port of Alabama can continue to support jobs, trade, and national security. Recent claims suggest the Corps refused to hear from the public, and that is simply not true. The Corps reviewed the public hearing request, written comments, and existing record. After that review, the district determined the request did not raise new facts, new information, or unresolved issues that required a formal public hearing. The district made that decision in writing, and it gives the listing of the writing. This quote here from Colonel Shaw, Mobile District Commander, said, "Public input matters, but repeating the same claim does not make it new information. The Corps reviewed the record, followed the law, and made the decision based on facts," end quote. Then it goes on to say here, "A formal public hearing is not the only way the public can be heard. The Corps also offered to meet with Mobile Baykeeper through the Planning and Environmental Division staff. Another claim is that Mobile Baykeeper submitted a new technical report and the Corps ignored it. That also leaves out key facts. The technical paper was not new to the district. It was provided to the Corps in October of 2025. The district reviewed it then, reviewed it again, and it was resubmitted and discussed the same issues with the Mobile Baykeeper in previous meetings. The district's decision was not based on how many pages were submitted. It was based on whether the request raised new facts or unresolved issues that required a formal public hearing." Okay. Goes on to say the Corps also rejects the claim that the dredged material management is a simple choice between mud dumping and proper disposal. That is not how it works. Dredging is needed to keep the federal shipping channel safe and open. Where dredged material goes depends on many factors, including the type of sediment, water conditions, permits, available sites, environmental requirements, cost. Remember that cost one. I've told you about that before and the way we could change this, and whether a site has enough capacity. So Colonel Shaw went on to say, "This is not a choice between the port and the bay. Our job is to keep the federal channel safe while making science-based decisions that protect Mobile Bay," end quote. Then goes on to write here, "Thin layer placement is not currently proposed for the present maintenance dredging cycle. However, the Corps is not removing any legally available and environmentally reviewed option for future use." So I think that's the whole thing, the most important sentence. "Thin layer placement is not currently proposed for present maintenance dredging cycle." Second sentence, the modifier here. "However, the Corps is not removing any legally available or environmentally reviewed option for future use." Says in Mobile Harbor, "Thin layer placement has been evaluated and identified as a beneficial use of dredged material. That is, it is not the opposite of beneficial use. It's one of the tools used to manage suitable sediment in a controlled way." I just want to point out here, and I'm reading this press release here from the Corps of Engineers, letting them have their say too, which is important. But there was a time when they had separated thin layer placement and beneficial use. They were separate things. It was like, here's thin layer placement and these other things are beneficial use. That was in their documents. Says, "Thin layer placement was not created by the Corps alone. It was developed through a multi-agency working group that included federal and state agencies, scientists, and environmental stakeholders, including Mobile Baykeeper. That process identified thin layer placement as an acceptable beneficial use practice for Mobile Bay." I don't see how. Colonel Shaw went on to say sediment is not automatically waste. In the right place, with the right material and proper control, sediment can be a resource. It can help support wetlands, shorelines, habitat, and long-term health of the bay. It can if you use it. Well, see, I'm editorializing here. But we'll get to this. I'm just making sure we put our flag down that we're reading this, and this will probably be all over the news by tomorrow, and we'll be back and talking about it right here on Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.